I've been chewing on some stuff about worship. I just wanted to share a little bit of it with you. Something that the Lord has created me for, specifically to convey a truth, I think, that has been lost in some ways in the church, is about presenting our bodies as living sacrifices in worship. And we know about this. You know, all you guys mostly, I think, are familiar with that idea. You know, Romans 12, 1 and 2, is that right? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service of worship, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, something like that. Paraphrase. And so that's kind of something that God has worked in me with. He's had me step out in some ways, and it's kind of like part of where I function in the body. And he's shown me stuff from his word a lot about that. And I've learned about so much. And I would think that it would be just the most biggest privilege to be able to actually share that with you. And I think that that's part of what I'm doing tonight. But there's just so much I couldn't possibly share that all with you. But so the one thing God's been having me focus on is what does the tabernacle of David mean? Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that term, or you've ever paid attention to that in the Bible, but it is really, I think, key in understanding a good portion of what it means to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord. And isn't that one of our main goals in our existence? Is to praise Him and worship Him forever. What a privilege. We were created for that. Let's learn how to do it. So we present our bodies as living sacrifices. Here, God, use my body for whatever you want to do. And that's a common saying around here. God, whatever you want to give it to you. Well, I feel like part of what God wants to do in this setting is to help us to start to value corporate worship, value it to a deeper level, because it will not necessarily always be so easy to meet, and we see that it's a little harder to meet. You know, not too bad, it's great in this room. But why is it important for a group of people to get together to worship God instead of just one person or two people? It's the bigger the better sometimes. I'm getting ahead of myself. But today we talked in our group about being in one accord, being in unity, and how being in unity in Acts was what brought in the Spirit and the coming of the Holy Spirit and God's great power after Jesus raised from the dead. And Jesus said, it's good for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Spirit's not going to come. And so the Spirit came, but it was preceded by being in one accord, being in unity. And part of that is being able to lay down our inhibitions in worship and go all out and give God extravagant praise. And that sometimes is a choice. It's a choice of the will. It's a presentation. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Bloody. It's bloody. It costs you. You sacrifice yourself. You sacrifice your dignity. You sacrifice your will. You sacrifice your pride. You sacrifice yourself. That's just kind of a little foundation. If you turn to Psalms, anywhere in the book will do. Because you will see, if you go to the Psalms, about a third of them, and I'm in the process of revisiting this study, so I've only gotten to like, oh, I think Psalm 26 or so I've read through. And there are 150 Psalms. But you will find in around a third of them, the terms, the tent of the Lord, tabernacle, the booth, sanctuary, or temple, house of the Lord, you'll find those terms in there. And it's important to understand what is the psalmist, so far all of those references have been made by David. He didn't write all the psalms, he wrote a lot of them though. And so far all the ones I've found, he wrote referring to the tent, the tabernacle, all of that. What is this referring to? Does anybody know? I mean, raise your hand. I'm not going to have you explain it. I'm just wondering. Does anybody know what went on in the tent, the tabernacle? And you don't count, Pastor Harvey. Well, it was a big deal to David to set this up, this whole worship and this whole procedure in the tabernacle. You know, Moses had the tents, the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was, and then the holy place outside of that thick veil, and then further out is where the people entered into the tent, was where most of the people worshipped. And the priest would go in every week to sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, and then once a year they would go into the whole, a week they would go into the holy place, and then once a year they would go to sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. Okay, well, this was already set up with Moses, so they had this huge tent, and it wasn't just like a tent. I mean, there were seal skins over the top. All of the ways that God had it set up were pictures. And I would love to get into that study sometime. I mean, there were silver rings that had the curtains come around, and silver in that day signified the spiritual world or spiritual things. I don't know. Everything has so much meaning, just like the sacrificial system that God set up with Jesus. It was a picture of Jesus. And this whole tent, this whole place of worship is a picture of our relationship with Jesus. So cool. Everything I've ever learned about it. But David did something more. David set up a worship system, a worship schedule of Levitical priests to praise God in song and in dance. I think he talks about dancing before the Lord. Of music. The first time he did it, I believe he set up 288 ministers to be in that tent worshiping the Lord 24/7. This was a constant worship going on. And then, later in his reign, he set up 3,000 people on a rotating schedule to worship before the Lord. And the Psalms are a picture. So much of it talks about a relationship with the Lord. Songs, psalms, that's what these are. And well, what happened in that place? Why was this so important to David? And that's what I've gone through, and I started to go through, and I wanted to share some of what I found. What happens when you go into a space that is set aside where everybody has their focus on the Lord, especially giving themselves and risking. I don't know if, you know, a lot of you, some of you may have, well, we have a lot of musical talent here. Sometimes when you get up in front of someone else and you sing, that just kind of makes you vulnerable. It can make you vulnerable. It's a part of your body that you are presenting to the Lord as a living sacrifice. When you dance, it makes you vulnerable. You're in front of everybody. They see you. Maybe you've done art before. That's a worship to the Lord. Maybe you feel vulnerable. Where there was this space in this tent where the Lord was, where He wanted people to be vulnerable with Him. He wants intimacy with us. And where all these people were being vulnerable before the Lord. And they were thinking about Him, praising Him, acknowledging His greatness, and laying down their own pride and laying down their own lives and saying, I love you, and I love you not just with my head, but I'm going to love you with my emotion now. And I'm going to present myself as a living sacrifice here with joy. What happened during those times? And I would invite you, as when you read the Psalms and when you come across those terms, because you can't possibly remember everything that I say today, you know, unless the Lord brings it to mind, that'd be great, but concentrate. Well, oh, that happened. That happened in the tent of the Lord. Oh, and this happened. There's so many things that happened. Psalm 3:4. You can turn to it. I'm not going to read the scripture here. Psalm 3:4 talks about how God answers me from His holy mountain. I'm sorry. I left out big part. Mount Zion. Mount Zion is also another reference to that tabernacle, to that tent, that place that people met. Mount Zion was the hill where they built the temple eventually, but it's where they set up the Levitical worship in the holy place. And Mount Zion, I think, probably refers to more than just that tent, because it's where David ruled from. It was a picture of Jerusalem. Excuse me. It was a picture of Israel. But that is where God's presence was. And that is where David ruled from. And that is the picture. That's like the pinnacle. That's the point. That's the center focus. Is that worship and praise and focus on the Lord and relationship with Him. Very cool. Well, what does God do? Can someone read Psalm 3:4 actually? Cried to the Lord and He heard me. He answers me when I'm crying to Him. So you go into God's presence in extravagant worship and praise. Just keep that context. It's so important. Keep the context. Why extravagant worship and praise? God is invited. His presence is welcome during that time. So He feels comfortable to do what He wants to do. That is a way to come into His presence. That is a way to become unified. I think it's key. And I don't know how key, but I think it's pretty important to be able to extravagantly worship Him. So our prayers get answered. How about Psalm 5:7? Read a couple of verses before then. So we get to come into His house as opposed to the wicked who don't want to seek God, and the boastful, and the ones who work iniquity. But because of His mercy, He lets us come in His house. He lets us come in His presence. He lets us. It's a privilege. it's a privilege to offer him sacrifice of ourselves in this house, in his presence, where everyone is doing his will. His and his presence. I mean, isn't that the way it is? When people come over your house, you have authority there, right? You don't just let someone come in and steal your stuff or come and punch your kid or whatever else. They start destroying your stuff, you say, stop, no more. In God's house, he has authority. In God's house, I mean, he has authority all places, but he's limited his authority to where we have said, here, we want your presence. So he has let us come in there. I'm just going to ask you to, we'll just look at one more. Psalm 9, verse 11 to 14, I guess. He's going to deliver us so that we can come into Zion, which is that mountain where his extravagant worship is. And we can rejoice in his salvation. We can tell of all the praises. You know, it says the gates of the daughter of Zion. The gates are where decisions are made. We can tell people of God's praises so that they can make the right decisions. When it's time to make the decisions, that's where you make them, in the presence of the Lord. You go into worship and praise, and then you ask God about the questions you have. And in that presence, in that environment, you can hear God more clearly. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could just all come in? At some point, who knows, I have a vision for this, that we would have hours and hours of praise and worship. And we come in and we journal before the Lord and we tell him all the things we're going through, all of our issues, and we can hear clearly from the Lord exactly what he wants us to do, because his presence is there and he will tell us if that's what his agenda is at that time. I just want to tell you one more thing that I know it's in the Psalms. I don't know exactly where, so you'll have to go find it. It's written. I mean, you don't have to go through the whole Bible, it's just, you know, the Psalms. But, you know, that's where David, the warlord, the warrior king, that's where he got his battle plans, was in the tent of God. That's where he went, where there was that extravagant praise. You know, hallelujah is one of the words, seven words for praise. And I know you've heard me say this before, but just as a reminder, it means to be clamorously foolish, to act as a madman, to go all out without care what everybody else will think of you. When we come into one accord, because we want what Jesus wants, we can give each other permission and we can encourage each other to lay that down, to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, whatever that looks like, however Jesus leads us. You know, Jesus said, "What shall I compare this generation to?" Played the flute, you didn't dance. Played the dirge, you didn't mourn. You won't respond. He wants a response from us. Imagine. And we can respond to him. And it's safe to do so. In the congregation and in the assembly, like the Psalms say. And it's powerful. And that's what God wants. He wants us to start to really value that, because he wants to do things that praise and worship and that response to him and that sacrifice to him will allow. It is a key. It is a door. It brings His kingdom on earth. His authority. It turns on the light switch for His power to come. And we need it. We need it. We need it in these days. So, be encouraged and be exhorted to lay your lives down and to extravagantly praise the Lord and to worship Him and to respond to what His Spirit is doing, whatever that is, and to be sensitive. What is His Spirit doing in us? Do we hold back our praise because we're jubilant? We are thankful. Or we feel Him weeping. Do we weep with Him? Respond to the Lord. Extravagantly.